Welcome to Classics Now, the radio program of the North Coast Great Books Discussion Group. I am Solomon Iverta, and I'm joined, as always, by the mellifluous Mary Harper for yet another selection from the shelf of classic works. What do we have this month, Mary?
A wonderful book. We all enjoyed it so much. Joseph Campbell's A Hero with a Thousand Faces. It's a marvelous book. I really recommend it to anyone. It's a life changer.
Yeah, and I suggested we put this on the list, and I'm quite happy to finally have read it and wish I had read it 20 years ago.
Right. Well, I did read it 20 years ago. You never know, you know, when you read something again, if it'll have the same impact. It was just as good the second time.
So this is a survey of historical myths.
Right.
Written by Joseph Campbell.
And Campbell brought together the fact that there are similarities in these myths across generations, across cultures, for everything from little folklore stories to the great myths of the great religions. They all share a similar structure and a similar journey.
And so he called this the monomyth. He pulled that from James Joyce.
But, right.
And so it's this overarching story into which all of these stories can fit in.
And it's not like no one else had ever seen this before. Other writers had pointed it out. But Campbell brought it together with just a wealth of examples from everywhere. I mean, he brings in stories from Mesopotamia and from Japan and China, from Native America, from the folklore of Europe. He minds it all.
Yeah.
And he's a very good storyteller. And he shows you how they are all alike in a lot of ways. He's just more eloquent about it than anyone else had ever been, and also more accessible, I think.
Yeah, it was quite accessible. It wasn't dry or stuffy like in some works that are a little more academic.
Right. His scholarship is just remarkable, though. I mean, he was born in 1904 in White Plains, and I think at the beginning of all of this is when he saw Buffalo Bill's Wild West show, and he fell in love with Native American lore and legend, and he really was into this his whole childhood, which was quite a beginning.
And, of course, led him to a study eventually of all the myths of the world.
Yeah, and he also took his own road trip, which is the classic American hero's journey, I guess, to find himself, and ended up in California and spent a long time with Steinbeck, which was I thought was very interesting. He spent most of his career at Sarah Lawrence. He's well known for his lectures, and even if you don't read this, the Bill Moyers series from PBS called The Power of Myth is really, really well worth watching. It's a couple of wonderful intellects, sparkling conversationalists, and really big hearts. And watching them and listening to them is quite an experience. Here's just an example from the beginning of the book of something that he's talking about, how we all react to myth. It says, "It is only those who know neither an inner call nor an outer doctrine whose plight is truly desperate. That is to say, most of us today, in this labyrinth without and within the heart. Alas, where is the guide? Where is Ariadne to supply the simple clue that will give us the courage to face the Minotaur and the means then to find our way to freedom when the monster has been met and slain? And where we had thought to find an abomination, we shall find a god. Where we had thought to slay another, we shall slay ourselves. Where we had thought to travel outward, we shall come to the center of our own existence. Where we had thought to be alone, we shall be with all the world."
Every page is like this. So you go through the whole thing, and it's just like, wow, I feel so special.
Yeah. And it's amazing. I tried to, you know, call out a few things to read here on the air, and this is littered with little markers. I could never read it all to you, but it really is remarkable how he goes from one culture to another and shows you how the hero's journey is the same and how, you know, they run into the same problems. Now, the outcome is not always the same, which I thought was really interesting, that sometimes the hero can refuse the journey and then all kinds of bad things happen. The Minotaur myth is one that he uses in that one because, you know, the king there refused to do what Poseidon asked him after Poseidon gave him his boon. And so, you know, he was stuck with the Minotaur and he had to hide him in this labyrinth to keep him from, you know, completely overrunning his country. So bad things happen when you don't follow the right journey.
Or listen to your inner voice.
Right,
And just a note, I think it's important to note for anybody that's going to attempt to read this work, which is, like we said, very accessible, is the time when it was written, there was a very big emphasis on the psychoanalysis. And so you kind of got to push through the references
Freud.
To Freud and all that kind of thing, which, you know, it's not to say that it wasn't valid, but it was that it's pretty heavy on that. But he's using it as a way to gain entrance to say, hey, everybody has dreams.
Right.
Everybody has these, you know, this unconscious voice that's speaking to them, even in their dreams. And that's what myth is these stories that are common to all people. We'll find all this in all of our dreams and then play it out in our daily lives.
Yeah, and despite that, I found so many things that were very, very contemporary that spoke to exactly today. Here's one that reminded me of why terrorism and intolerance continue. It says, totem, tribal, racial, and aggressively missionizing cults represent only partial solutions to the psychological problem of subduing hate by love. They only partially initiate. Ego is not annihilated them. Rather, it is enlarged. Instead of thinking only of himself, the individual becomes dedicated to the whole of his society. The rest of the world, meanwhile, that is to say, by far the greater portion, is left outside the sphere of his sympathy and protection, and because outside the sphere of the protection of his God. There takes place, then, that dramatic divorce of the two principles of love and hate, which the pages of history so bountifully illustrate. Instead of clearing his own heart, the zealot tries to clear the world.
Right. But on the other hand, then we get to the end of the book and we're talking about how the hero is actually connecting with the entire world and becoming and redeeming the entire world, and that it's not through force but through surrender and then conquering of your own self, your own issues that you can actually save the entire world with your journey. So I mean that's it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, one of the things he stresses early on too is that in primal cultures, shall we say, this whole mythology was really a stepping stone through life. It gave you transitions from how to become an adolescent from a child, how to become an adult when you're an adolescent. And we have completely lost that in this society, and it's one of the reasons we're struggling. But the other thing about this, though, is it has influenced so many artists.
Yeah.
George Lucas cites it all the time as one of the founding things that brought him to the story of Star Wars. And if you look at this, it's right there.
Yeah, and I was, as I mentioned in our meeting, was this, that I've been watching a lot of kids' movies because I have kids, and it's like, oh my goodness, it's every single movie that we watch is like, there he goes. He's a hero off on his journey, and let's see how this resolves. Yes, and it's always... Every time, and it's all right here, and who knew that this little cartoon characters would be enacting out the world redemption.
Right. Well, here's Joseph Campbell's last word from Hero with a Thousand Faces.
All right.
The modern hero, the modern individual who dares to heed the call and seek the mansion of that presence with whom it is our whole destiny to be atoned, cannot, indeed must not wait for his community to cast off its slough of pride, fear, rationalized avarice, and sanctified misunderstanding. Live, Nietzsche says, as though the day were here. It is not society that is to guide and save the creative hero, but precisely the reverse. And so every one of us shares the supreme ordeal, carries the cross of the Redeemer, not in the bright moments of his tribe's great victories, but in the silences of his own personal despair.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's up to you guys.
Go and do it. Well, Mary, how do we follow that up? What do we have for next month?
Well, we have a really interesting selection of American short stories from the first half of the 20th century. I'm really looking forward to this. There's four male writers and four female writers, and it should be really fun.
Yeah, we're really looking at the kind of golden age of, recent golden age of short story writing. And so, yeah, pick up some short stories and read along with us. So thank you for joining us. I'm Solomon Duarte with Mary Harper. Thank you for listening and have a classic day.